This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
I'm Brett Dickman.
I'm Robert Leonard.
This is General Galen Shaw. All of us owe our existence to Phil Hendry.
And here he is.
Oh, that was respectful. Thank you.
Yes.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. From the El Pacifico here in Southern California, as Margaret just mentioned.
Right, so you didn't need to.
And a great weekend I hope you all had.
And what kind of a weekend did you have?
Well, this is an uncharacteristically...
Look, Phil, don't just be thankful for little favors. Don't question it.
Yeah, what are the questions for?
Yeah, you're right, you're right.
Well, now you have to explain... God...
I was going to say this has been an uncharacteristically smooth open to the show, and I appreciate it. Anyway, this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, but now you mentioned it, and now it's the whole thing has been balled up. Christ.
See, what we wanted you to do, Phil, is resist the temptation to blah, blah, blah. You know?
Margaret. No, Miss Gray's saying it's true.
You want to spit it out, Phil?
Miss Gray's saying it's true.
Yeah. We want you to resist the temptation to...
All right, I'm sorry that I said anything. Welcome to the Phil Hendry. Let's just forget about it.
Well, we can't do it now. You said welcome to the Phil Hendry. The whole thing's been just turned to garbage. Garbage.
It's all right, Phil. Let's just rewind. Do you want to...
No, we're already in the show. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Now, you were saying you want to do the show live at some point, right?
Yeah, that's old news.
Yeah, that's old news about a month ago.
I don't care if it's old news.
Well, is that true, Phil, or what?
Yeah, I do want to do the show live. I do want to go back to doing the show live, and I hope we can go back to doing the show live.
And what would stop you from doing the show live?
A prohibitive cost to the whole. I don't know. I don't think it really is a cost. We pay a certain amount of money to Amazon for streaming. We pay a hell of a lot to Amazon for streaming, as a matter of fact. Then we also...
Well, what about the storage of the video and all of that jazz?
Yeah, because that was a part of it, right?
Now, you sound like me for a minute.
I know. But...
It was a part of it for a while. Forget about what you guys sound like, okay?
You start out doing this for cinema.
Yeah.
So it almost sounded like me.
Yeah. So what about it?
So the story... Who gives it?
We don't care about storage fees, Phil. We just want to get it done, you know?
You guys want to go live?
No. No, we want to finish up this part of the opening to the show because it's really dragging.
So what I was going to say is... That
you weren't going to say anything. We brought it up and we shouldn't have. I'm very sorry.
What I was going to say is that, yeah, we want to go live and we will go live. And the reason why we didn't is I wanted to check out costs, baby, costs, you know? That's what it's about.
All right, Phil, you don't have to turn it into some sort of a beatnik frenzy.
Well, now that's what it's about. Costs, man. How much is this? How much is that?
Look at the pair on that, will you?
Would you knock it off, please?
God damn, man.
So it looks like it's a
health protein powder commercial.
Well, they got some girl over that's... They're hanging right over the table. They're hanging right over the guy's head.
All right. Thank you for that. Turn the TV off, bud.
But I want to see...
Turn the TV off. So, yeah, it costs and...
The costs were prohibitive. Well, speaking of that, and I'm so glad that you're bringing all of this up now, because we are talking about behind the scenes here on the Phil Hendry Show, and we've got a little behind the scenes to talk to you about.
Yeah, we got David to do an intervention here.
About what?
Hey, take it easy, will you?
Well, what is this about?
Well, we got David do an intervention on a tweeting.
Yeah. Your tweeting now is out of control.
We had to do it, Phil. We must do it. We must go on. We have to go on.
As John Hurt said in Alien.
Yes.
So I'm tweeting out of control, is that it?
Yes, we knew your feelings would be hurt, but all of that stuff about the 1984... You were tweeting about 1984 George Lincoln Rockwell today.
What are you talking about, man?
You were, man. You said in 1984...
That was George Orwell.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Yeah, so we're sorry about that. We thought it was a Nazi. Jesus.
Yeah, so you guys want me to stop tweeting because you thought I was quoting Nazis?
Isn't that a Nazi that wrote 1984?
Are you nuts or something? That's one of the...
Look, if I got it wrong... Yeah, I think we got it wrong.
Yeah, you got it wrong, all right. That was George Orwell, one of the great writers, one of the great satirists, a great futurist, a great novelist, a great writer. Had nothing to do with being a Nazi. As a matter of fact, 1984 is a warning against totalitarianism, whether it be commie or Nazi.
Well, the whole thing seemed anti-commie. That's why I just assumed he was a Nazi.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, General. Excuse me for saying.
You know, I'll let that slide now. Ordinarily, I wouldn't. Ordinarily, man, I would take a giant dump on you, my friend.
All right, General, let's just admit we were wrong.
Yeah, you were wrong, all right.
We were wrong, all right?
You were wrong.
Said we were wrong.
You're wrong, man. Good.
Wait a minute, Phil.
I kick his ass. All right. Where is he?
Where's who?
David.
Oh, did she call him up there and find out?
Say that again?
Did she call him up there and find out?
He means should you call him, should he call you up to find out?
Call me up?
I mean, I'm sorry.
You call him up.
Yes, call up Bud.
Why would I call? He's sitting right here. You want me to call David?
No, I'm going to call David.
You know what, Phil? You need it. Either you need sleep or you need something. I don't know what it is. Maybe they ought to up your meds.
Get him on the phone.
David Hall, please. Yeah, hurry up, Miss Henry. He's mad.
Come on, Bud, will you?
Mr. Henry for David Hall. Yes, I'll hold.
Give me the phone. David? 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 Hello? Put another quarter in.
Oh. David, hi. Yeah, it's Bud. Uh-huh. Yeah, got him right here. Yeah. Yeah, he's a pain in...
Give me that, will you? You want to go on the air with this? About what? About tweeting? Yeah, let's do it. David G. Hall, who is the president of syndication, is now working as basically my manager, joining me here on the Phil Henry Show. David, what's up?
Look, man, if you want me to take over your career, you're going to have to knock off with some of these tweets. I'm looking at that tweeter today, and you got George, the guy's name is Orwell, right?
It's not George Lincoln Rockwell, if that's what you were thinking.
All right, I made a mistake there. But you're talking about Nazis. You got 1984 in the brain. You're all on about Trump. Give it a rest, will you? Listen, friend, and listen good.
David, it's important for me...
Listen to me and listen good. You're a humorist, as far as it goes, anyway. That's what they tell me. You're a guy...
Oh, you don't think so, huh?
David, did I just call you David? Look what you've done to me. I don't even know who I am. I don't even know myself no more. Look, Phil, I'm saying that you're a satirist, a humorist. You're a jester, a court jester. You're a clown. You're just a clown with a pointed nose and bells on your shoes. You hop from here to there. You just hop from one place to the next, making people laugh. I don't want you on Twitter anymore talking about this smack. Do you understand?
You can't give me orders like that.
Oh, really? Well, let me just...
You tell him, David.
Listen to you. You can't give me orders like that.
You can't.
Well, I'm giving them to you. If you want Hall Management, Inc. behind your career from this point forward, the big final push, Phil, this is the big final push for your career. You know that, don't you?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
He doesn't know what I'm talking about. Get a load of him.
You don't know what he's talking about.
Jesus, Phil. Get with it.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, seems that the writing's on the wall.
The writing's on the wall.
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
Will you shut up and tell me what you're talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that you're now in the golden years of your career. You've done this, you've done that, you've done a few things, but we want to make the big final push. The big final push, the big screen, something like that, a TV show, I don't know what it's going to be. But we can't get it done with you tweeting like an ass!
I've never been talked to this way.
Yes, you have.
When?
When you were married.
Other than then...
I'm not going to make a big deal out of this, I'm going to give it to you straight. And when I like to give it to people, I like to give them straight and hard so they get it. And when I say straight and hard, I'm not talking about straight, hard, and throbbing or anything.
All right, David.
Sorry. I want you to understand, Phil, that this is the big final push.
I know, the big final push, and we want to, you know, a TV or a movie.
Something. And if you're quoting George Lincoln, what's the guy again?
George Lincoln Orwell.
George Lincoln Orwell.
It's not George Lincoln. George Orwell. Phil had it right. We carved it up. Let's just admit it. We carved it a new ass.
All right, so it's George Orwell. I never heard of him either. But there you are on Twitter with all this heavy stuff, Phil. Give it a rest, will you?
Look, you know something? It's like this.
I'm not interested.
I'm just going to tell you, it's like this. You want to be a good citizen.
Who does?
Well, don't we all?
Not me. All I want to do is...
David Hall, folks.
Well, Phil, don't hang up on the man. That's...
Oh, you know, he's going to fire you from his management team. And then where will you be?
Oh, well. At this point in my life, ask me if I care.
David Hall's back.
Give me the phone.
Yeah. Well, you know...
Give me the phone, bud. David?
Yeah.
I mean, David, what were you doing, bud?
Oh, sorry, I thought it was David.
David? No, you're not on the air. That was Bud pretending to be you. What? So...
All right, so listen to me. I'll forgive you for hanging up on me because you think I'm a motor mouth, but what I'm telling you is true. You keep it up with all of this heavy-ass stuff. If you want to do humor, you better do... If you want to do Trump and all that bullshit, excuse my French, then you had just better...
Oh, David!
Just hold on. If you want to do Trump and all of that other bullshit, then you had better, my friend, or as Phil says, all that other bullshit. you had better find a way to communicate it to the audience in a manner that is more refreshing, a manner that is more humor-filled, a manner that is a little bit more subtle, a manner that can be...
David G. Hall, folks.
What are you doing?
I hung up on him, which is my right as the host of the show. Do you mind?
Well, Phil, he's only going to call back.
Yeah, I got him here.
What's going on your line for?
Didn't want to talk to you. Yeah. Yeah, David. Yeah.
You called him David.
That's what he wants to be called.
David?
Yeah, what he called me. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he... Well, here he is, right here.
David.
It's David. When I'm talking to him, it's David, because...
Get out of here, will you?
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. No.
You don't want to talk to you, David. Okay.
Well, what's with you?
Phil Henry, managed by David Hall.
This is more Hollywood sounding.
Yeah, it's great. How's that Hollywood sounding?
I don't know. He thinks it sounds like some kind of a hairdresser. Figures if he bombs with your career, he can go into hairdressing as David Hall.
Sounds good to me, man.
You know, Beverly Hills, kind of a... Well, I don't want to bring up the... I don't want to bring up any names that may be painful to you, Phil, but I'm sure the name Vic Neaton means something to you.
Yeah, I know the name Vic Neaton.
Well, Vic was the first hairstylist you ever went to when you had hair.
Thank you. What about him?
You know Vic died tragically over Tahiti.
The Zeppelin. Remember they had that Hindenburg? They called it Hindenburg 2?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it was a tourist Zeppelin, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't a gigantic Zeppelin, but Vic was there with a friend, and they had rented the Zeppelin for the afternoon. And he felt that he was with a very experienced Tahitian crew. They had been trained by the French military, the French Navy. They got to about 1,000 feet, and the Zeppelin went down.
Yeah, the Zeppelin went down ass first, flaming. Thank Christ Vic jumped free, and so did his friend.
Right, and the Vic, now I remember, Vic jumped free, and so did his friend, and that night they went and had a celebratory dinner.
Yeah, and he choked to death on ham fat. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that, man.
What is it with you? You know he doesn't want to be reminded of that.
First of all, I'm sorry that he died. Second of all, you love bringing it up because you think it's funny.
Well, it is in a lot of ways, Mr. Henry, if you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, we're not trying to rub it in. Well, you know something, you guys? It may be funny the way he died, but he still died, and he was a friend of mine.
He was your hairdresser.
He was a friend of mine back when I had hair.
Yes, because when you lost your hair, he didn't have anything to do with you. He lost you. You remember that? Did you get invited to Tahiti? No. Did you?
I wasn't going to be invited to Tahiti, believe me.
Why not?
Because that was a select group of friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, read Gay Friends.
Thank you very much. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show.
Let's go over to traffic now. We got Bob Bacon. Bob?
Hey, wipe out the front freeway. Get trouble on downtown. They're winding downtown and they're trying to get through the traffic. There's a stand up there at the Slam Brand right around the Coliseum Freeway right now. You're going to get those guys, the Roman chariots down there. As a matter of fact, the Coliseum escaped to Mad Max, escape from New York. Go to the Skyboy.
What about that, Bob? Stay on the floor. I'm saying the same thing here. There's a whole skyline. There's a skyline there. There's a zip line down there. There's a fan belt chain. And a man just got to call up my phone chain. Said I can't even do that. This is that screen, and there's some screaming happening over there on the beach. Let's go over now to... Oh, it's Scandinavian Sweet Pants.
I'm not the weather. Not my dad's house, so cool. I'm not the weather.
Goddamn high-test gasoline. Hotfoot.
Do you have a backstage pass? If you don't, you don't know what you're missing. If you do, you would know what you're missing if you didn't have a backstage pass. The backstage pass is that which enters you or takes you or puts you into or shoves you through the hole to the world-famous Phil Henry Show website. It is there that 30,000 hours of classic archives await you. Some of the greatest radio that's ever been recorded. Some of the greatest comedy that's ever been recorded. Some of the greatest humor that's ever been recorded. Some of the greatest comedy that's ever been recorded. Some of the greatest... You get the idea. The world-famous Phil Henry Show Backstage Pass. Get it for a month. Get it for a year. Along with all of our archives, you get our live show. Daily shows. You get our Friday night chat. You get all of our archive miscellany, like the Phil Henry home movies, as well as Hendroids, and of course our TV pilots, and many, many other things, including interviews with radio, TV, and the motion picture world.
The Phil Henry Show website. Get a backstage pass today. If you don't, you'll regret it for the rest of your life.
paid for by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We're only kidding. How many times do you take a sniff of your own armpit and yes, you want to die? Well, it's perfectly natural. It's called, hi, I don't use antiperspirant. Hi, Dean Bourbon here for Dean Bourbon Deodorant. This is the first deodorant that you can roll on, and the thick, clean smell of our deodorant is so rich, so thick, so long-lasting, you won't need an antiperspirant. This perfume and cologne that we use in our deodorant will cover up the smell of cow dung from miles away. We tested it out near a school where a dairy was. Right next door, a lot of cows crapped in an open field. We just dumped our perfume and cologne right on that open field, and the kids there in first grade class were able to get their breakfast down lickety-split, no problem. Yes, it's our brand new Dean Bourbon deodorant. Try it, and if it doesn't make you smile and say, I smell like something that belongs among human beings for the first time in years, your money back. Dean Bourbon deodorant. You can buy it at Clemco's department stores and the Richfield Pharmacy. Ask for Bob Erton. That's Dean Bourbon deodorant. Ask for Bob Erton. He's the guy that, never mind, they changed the name. Long story.
Show to El Pacifico in Southern California is Bud Dickman.
I'm Robert Leonard here, and we are going to bring on now Steve Bozell. Steve Bozell is home in Corona, California, to talk with us about the Little League World Series, which is going to be coming up this month. And believe it or not, Steve has been a participant in the Little League World Series. And I thought, Mr. Bozell, how are you doing? I think that's very, very interesting. I didn't know that you played baseball.
Well, I did play baseball, Robert, and I played Little League baseball, and I think I probably could have had a career in high school and college baseball, but I decided to, you know, concentrate more. Can I just ask, is Bud there?
Yeah, right here.
I mean, I don't mean anything, no offense at all, but is Phil going to come on here? Because if it's all right, I don't mind talking to an African-American.
What does that mean, man?
Nothing, but usually if they delegated me to you and you to me.
Yeah, you know something, man? You ought to watch the way you're thinking.
Yeah, just be careful with what you're thinking.
What are you talking about, man? You're about as racist as he is.
I'm not. What are you talking about?
Yeah, hold on. I'm not racist.
Let me jump in here, Steve. What are you talking about? There's no reason. We didn't delegate anything to anybody. The guys are opening this segment.
Well, I thought that Robert was going to interview me, and I didn't mean anything against you, Robert. I was going to change the way.
You know, change the way what?
Well, God.
All right, Robert, let me.
No, I want to ask him. You're going to change the way what?
I was going to change the approach. Look, this is the day and age where everybody is American. Look, please don't talk that way, because you know that Mr. Trump loves all black people.
What's it got to do with Mr. Trump?
Would you get this guy under control, Phil, before I flip my lid?
Look, Steve, this is General Shaw. Now, hold on.
Well, where's Phil? Is he mad at me?
I'm not mad at you. Just forget about Trump, Jack. What are you bringing that up for?
Jack?
Yes, Jack. What are you bringing that up for?
I just want... Everybody knows I'm in favor of Mr. Trump, and I don't want to think that we don't accept blacks. You did a whole thing on Twitter about how all the blacks that support him are bots. And
wait, I'm supposed to get off of that whole Twitter kick. You heard what David said.
I'm sorry, I wasn't familiar.
By the way, you can hear the squirrels that are dancing around.
I'm out near my pond, all right? And this is where, thank God I'm at the pond.
You're at the pond so you can relax, huh?
Yeah, and Robert, I didn't mean anything by that. I just, if the black guy was going to interview me...
The black guy.
What I meant to say is...
Look, Steve, quit while you're ahead. The black guy is interviewing you for the opening of the segment. I'll take over.
I didn't mean anything by it. I just wanted to say that I would change my approach and become more urban.
What do you mean? I've got to hear this, man. What do you mean more urban?
Now, look at Robert. Don't get nuts.
Robert, let's just let it go.
No, what do you mean? Go ahead. Give me an example.
I would go... Well, interview me. Did you say give you an example?
Give me an example, man.
All right, okay, yeah. Go ahead and interview me, and I'll give you an example of how I'd be.
All right, I understand that you played Little League, and that your hometown Little League team almost made it all the way to the Little League World Series.
Yeah, man, that was dope. Oh, forget it.
Yeah, see what I'm saying, Mr. Turner?
Hey, Steve, you're going to have to knock that off, okay, or we're going to have to not only throw you off the air, I don't want to have you on here anymore.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh my! All I tried to do was...
Yeah, man, that was really dope. Talk like yourself, which is basically a jackass.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, Steve, you've only got yourself to blame.
I have been... See, this is what I don't like about your program.
If you don't like the show, why are you on it?
Because I do like it, but a lot of times you make me look like a fool.
Steve, the only one making you look like a fool now is you.
Yeah, look at, man. You want to talk urban to somebody, go talk urban to your son or your wife or your daughter. Go on and find some brothers that live close to you, and you can talk urban to them. You don't have to be on the phone with me.
all I was going to say is playing Little League was dope. You don't want to...
Never mind that, okay? Let's talk about the real deal. Let's talk about Steve Bozell. I'll do it, Robert.
I don't want to interview you anymore.
You know, I didn't mean anything by it, Robert.
I don't want to interview you anymore.
How about if I pay you $50?
Okay. We're talking to Steve Bozell. Get out of here, will you? This is the Phil Henry Show, and I'll do the interviewing. Thank you very much. You're paying $50. Yeah, you're too late on that.
I'll make it up to you, swear to God.
Steve, we're having you on the program today. And by the way, if people are wondering what they're hearing, you are by your pond, right?
I'm by the pond, and this is where I have a pond on my property about 100 yards from my back door. And we are blessed with a nice piece of... I got a nice chunk of land out here in Corona, and we back up to Burtaby Canyon and the Peachtree Canyon area, and I have a pond here that I stock with bluegill, I stock with salmon, trout, I have snapper.
What the hell are you talking about?
I'm just kidding. I wanted to see if anybody picked up on...
Are there fish in the pond?
Yes, there are. There are bluegill, the little tiny bluegill fish. This is where I sit and I try to get my head together.
It's a place where you sit and collect your thoughts.
Yes, I collect my thoughts here.
Well, you have been under a little bit of pressure?
I've been under pressure.
Because this is the Little League World Series that's coming up, and that we were going to talk about that.
Yeah, we already talked about that, but the reason why I'm under pressure is because every year I celebrate the Little League World Series. I have I'll have guys come over, and I don't drink as a rule, Mr. Henry, and I've given you some of the reasons why I don't drink. But suffice to say, I don't drink. So generally... On Little League World Series Day, I will have a cocktail, perhaps another cocktail to relax with.
Are you an alcoholic?
No, sir, I'm not.
You're not an alcoholic, but so why do you don't drink?
Why do I don't drink?
Jimmy, why don't you drink?
Yes, that's right. Why don't you drink?
I don't drink because simply just a personal decision. You know, that's all.
There's nothing that happened in your life?
No, nothing that happened in my life of any significance. It's a personal decision of responsibility because I love my wife, I love my kids. And once a year, when the Little League World Series is on, and I have a big blowout party here, goes well into the night, I serve a few drinks.
You have a big blowout party for the...
What seems to be...
Well, it's a little funny, unusual. I guess you call it fun-usual. You know what I mean? Fun-usual.
Fun-usual. That means funny and unusual?
Yeah. And, thank you, Darren.
Yeah, that's great. Good for you. All right, move along, bud.
Move along, bud. God, what? You load me into the boxcar? God damn.
Would you watch that, please?
Come on, bud. Don't piss me off.
Sorry.
What did he say? Move you along to the boxcar. Holy Jesus.
That sounds bad. I'm not sure what it references.
Just get going, bud.
Right. What I was going to say is, so you're having fun. Isn't it unusual for you to be drinking just once a year? I mean, what's that about? And also to have a big blowout party for the Little League World Series.
That was my question. You're having a big, massive blowout?
Yeah, we get together. We go, wow, I don't know, what's your problem about that?
You're having a big blowout party for the Little League World Series. Usually people have that for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I've been a big blowout Super. Look, it's a championship of the world. Is it not, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
Okay, and it's a big game. It's a big series. It's like the Super Bowl, like the NBA title, like the Stanley Cup playoffs, like the, I guess, the old World Series. Like the soccer championships of the world and everything like this, you know?
No, it's called soccer championships, it's called a World Cup.
Okay, well, the World Cup. This is the Little League World. I have a party for those. How come you can't have no party for this?
I don't know. It's just because it's kids.
Oh, so in other words, it's God damn. You think it's inappropriate?
I didn't say it was inappropriate. I didn't say that at all. I didn't say you can't have a beer. I didn't say you can't get drunk. I just thought it was unusual to hear. Are there women there?
Mr. Henry, don't turn it into some gay pride parade because...
It's not. We're not doing that. We're saying...
Hey, like, I know.
No, we're saying, isn't it unusual... Never mind. You can have anybody you want at your party. Just, sorry I interrupted.
Yeah, see, I was having a good time talking to Bud.
Let me just say this. So you have a World Series party that you do drink at, even though you don't drink the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's kind of dangerous, right?
Not really. I mean, we have a big, the reason why the Little League World Series is huge is because I pitched in for a team, the Knoxville Tan, or the Knoxville Tanning Supplies, from by the time I was 12 to 13 years old, I pitched for that team. And we almost got to the regionals, the Southeast Regionals.
What was the name of the team?
Knoxville Tanning Supplies.
The Knoxville, I thought you said it was the Knoxville Tan before the show started.
Yeah, Knoxville Tan was short. And I pitched, and we got all the way to the Tennessee championships. Well, actually, we got to the Knoxville championships, which was the Southeast Tennessee championships.
What was it?
In the Southeast.
Knoxville's like in the Northeast.
Well, yeah, because they don't have enough teams in the Northeast or in the Southeast. We were in the Southeast of Tennessee.
So what happened? I take it you didn't go to the Little League World Series.
No, we did not. We lost in the Southeast Tennessee championship, but. It was a glorious time, and I've often remembered it. That's why every time Little League World Series come on, I like to have a big blowout party. Now, I don't drink most of the year, and when we do have it, I have myself a cocktail, and I relax with a cocktail.
Okay. So what's the tension?
I do have had a drinking problem, and I did one year, and I think I told you about it, Mr. Andrew. I went down here to the Tattletale. It's on Colorado Boulevard. And I gave a lot of money to that stripper, and, you know, April found out about it. I felt that I had violated our marriage vows badly, very badly.
Oh, God.
I know you were very upset about it.
Yeah.
And did you make it up with her?
I did, and she asked me to, if I was going to drink, just drink one time a year. And she said, when would you like that to be? I said, I'd like it for the Little League World Series. And she said, not for New Year's Eve or our wedding anniversary. I said, no, I didn't quite understand that.
You don't understand why your wife would like to have a drink with you on your wedding anniversary.
I mean, my wedding anniversary is sacred to me, and all things are sacred to my marriage. Why would I want to be a filthy drunk pawing my wife and trying to do dirty things? Man.
Buddy, if there's ever a time you want to do dirty things, as you put it, it might be on your wedding anniversary.
Well, I don't know, General.
You don't know, huh?
Well, I can tell you, General, you must have a totally different marriage from me.
Yeah, I guess so. So... you decided you'd have your drink on Little League World Series weekend, and so it's approaching.
Well, it's not a weekend. Maybe it is a weekend. It is approaching.
What was this incident with the stripper?
What happened was I bought a lap dance for $20. I said, the lap dance is $20? She said, yeah. I said, I only have a $50, so would you please give me change?
You ask a stripper for change? What an idiot, man.
Yeah, you might as well just give her the money.
I don't know that that's the thing to do.
You don't know that. What? What are you talking about? I gave her a $50 bill. I said, where's my $30? And she's like laughing at me and, you know, rubbing the $30 on her you-know-what. And I said, God damn it. So I told my wife, and she went down to the strip bar and said, where's the stripper? My husband gets $30. And
your wife had to go down and collect the $30 for you?
I told her that she wouldn't give it to me. And my wife said, wait here. And she told me, she directed me to sit at the kitchen table, and she went down to the Tattletale and found this girl, Cherie or Sherry or Cherry, some damn name like that, and she got the 30 from her.
Look at Bozell, I'm going to give you this straight. If I were your wife, I'd leave you. But if she's staying there...
Thanks a lot for that, General.
Well, I'm sorry. If I were your wife, I'd leave you.
If you were my wife?
Your wife. You had a drink, and you went down and paid a stripper for a laugh. What year was that?
Last year.
So your wife is completely fine with you drinking, even going down and getting lap dances?
Yeah, she's totally fine with it, so long as it's only one weekend out of the year. So this weekend, I'm making preparations. I want the guys to come over. I am going to be drinking. It will go well into the night. At 10:30, I've instructed Stewie Belmont, who's one of my cement finishers, to lock me into one of the back bedrooms. We have a key on the outdoor of the...
What are you talking about?
Excuse me, to lock me into the back bedroom, and I've told him. I said, no matter what you hear coming from inside that room, don't you ever let me out.
That sounds like a wolf man.
That's exactly right. From the TV show, The Wolf Man.
You mean the TV show? You mean the movie?
Yeah, I mean the movie, yeah.
So you saw that on The Wolf Man?
I saw it on The Wolf Man. I saw him say, whatever you hear, no matter what you hear coming from that room, don't ever let me out. And I thought, that's it. I'll get Stewie to lock me into the back bedroom.
What does your wife think about this?
Yes, I want to know, what does April think of this?
I told April, I said, I'm going to drink heavily, but I want Stewie to lock me into that back bedroom. And she sort of, you know, looked me up and down and went back to doing her nails, which is, you know.
Took that to mean that's okay.
Yeah, that's a definite yes.
She looked you up and down and went back to doing her
Thanks a lot, Mr. Andy. Thanks so very much.
Well, look at Steve. Don't start getting disappointed. This is the goofiest thing I've ever heard in my life. First of all, you drink once a year because your wife lets you. It's on the Little League weekend, the Little League World Series weekend. You drink heavily until you're out of your skull. Last year, you went down and paid for lap dances, and when the girl wouldn't give you your money back, you sent your...
You sounded just like Phil there.
Thank you. She went down.
My wife went down.
Your wife went down and got the change for the lap dance. So this year you've got Stewie Belmont locking you into a back bedroom, and you're saying, whatever you do, whatever you hear from in there, don't let me out.
Yeah, what's so funny about that?
It just reminds us of that Wolfman movie, that's all.
Well, that's the way it's going to be. That's how I want it to be. I told Stewie.
Where is this Stewie? Can we get him on the phone?
Yes, I don't know.
What's his name, Stewie Belmont?
Yeah.
Call him up?
Yeah.
We're going to get Stewie Belmont on the... I don't know why we're getting Stewie Belmont on.
Yeah, just to waste a lot of time.
Yeah, Stewie? It's Bud Dickman at the Phil Henry Show. Yeah, we're talking to Steve. Talking to Steve Bozell. Your boss? You don't work with a Steve Bozell? Yeah, he does.
Sure as hell does. Get him on the phone.
Okay, yeah, he down. Now he remembers you, yeah. Stewie.
Hey, Stewie, it's Phil Henry. Welcome to our program. We got your boss on, Steve Bozell, here, and he's going to... I guess you're locking him in a back bedroom?
Stewie, are you there?
Yeah, that's what you want me to do.
Yeah, I did. I told you to lock me in that back bedroom.
He said whatever he hears, whatever comes out of that room, man, don't let me out. I said, whatever? And he said, yeah.
Now, when did he tell you this, Stewie?
Told me it's well about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I paid him... I gave you $50 to keep me locked in.
Gave me $50 to keep him locked in, a Little League World Series.
Right. And I told you, don't ever let me out. Don't ever let me out.
Right. What I have is a 2x4, and I've got a jack, a car jack.
Now, what is that for?
I'm going to hit him with it if he gets out.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So if I try to get out of the room... If you hear screaming and you hear me just going, go in there and hit me with a car jack.
Yeah, well, I got that all, and I got a Smith & Wesson.
Don't bring no gun.
No, wait a second. Hey, you guys can't have any gun.
Don't bring no gun.
All right.
But just hit me with a car jack.
Okay. And you promised to pay me $50, right?
Yeah, I'll pay you $50. But if I get out and I get down to a strip bar or something, no go, no go, no go.
All right, fair enough to me. Now, all I'm trying to do is tell everybody that I'm trying.
There's Stewie anyway, so I'm...
All right, Stewie, thank you. What happened to him anyway?
I hung up on him because he was bothering me.
Well, that happens to Stewie, but...
Steve, good luck from all of us to all of you here at the Phil Henry Show. Good luck with your Little League World Series weekend.
Well, I certainly hope so, Mr. Henry. When I pitch for the Knoxville Tent.
Steve Bozell.
You know, that man's life is so fascinating. He has to do a book.
What do you mean fascinating?
Well, listen to all the goofball stuff he does from those clowns that he works with, those monkeys. Now he's got one of them hitting him with a car jack.
It's pretty nuts. It's
You said it's pretty nuts?
Pretty nuts is what it is. It's definitely, it's real different, as the man said, you know, real abstract. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show for the El Pacifico here in Southern California. Don Berman is coming up next. And he's got a bone to pick with Phil Henry about something. I don't know what it is.
Hello, Malcolm Puri. Do you have enough money to sustain you through your retirement? You know, someday you're going to have to lay down your heavy burden, and you're going to want to have enough money to see you through those golden years. I suggest you invest with the Kaiser brothers, two escaped German war criminals who made their way to the United States, set up a little lending bank, and today they're bigger and better than ever before, being run by their great-great-great-great-great-grandsons. The Kaiser brothers can lend you $5, $10, $20 just like that. You don't even have to pay it back. As a matter of fact, the Kaiser brothers will lend you up to $3,000 and you won't have to pay it back. Just don't let them see you anywhere near their offices ever again as long as you live. Malcolm Puri for the Kaiser Brothers. They've helped me. I think they can help you. I haven't met you yet, but I think they can.
Visit the Kaiser Brothers. Have Malcolm Puri do the pre-interview. He'll look you up and down and then tell them whether you're a good risk or not.
The Kaiser Brothers. They helped me out in a pinch. Back when I had the problems that I had paternity cases, I had a drug addiction. I was in the same room with Bela Lugosi.
The Kaiser Brothers. Sweet Farm wants you to come and visit.
It's the Sweet Farm Open House.
Sweet Farm, come and visit and enjoy.
The Sweet Farm Open House. We open it all up. We air it out, open all the windows, all the doors, even the back door, and we let people wander in and wander out.
What difference does it make what you see and what you smell? What difference does it make what you hear and what you don't hear? Sweet Farm is the place you know you're going to wind up.
Sweet Farm's open house this coming weekend for 3 whole days. We'll never close. 3 solid days, 24 hours a day. And late at night, it gets real weird.
No security available.
At Sweet Farm, we want you to stay with us. Stay with us willingly. We'd prefer that, but of course there are alternatives.
Alternatives?
There are F you.
Sweet Farm.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the day came.
Lights.
What the F?
I thought it was an instrumental.
This I was going to do my improvisational lyrics.
Yeah, find an intermental for you.
An intermental?
An instrumental, bud.
Instrumental, yeah.
How about this, Margaret?
Well, the night is dark and the wind blows through my hair. I dance on the beach till you arrive in your 1960 Corvette. Oh, the Corvette.
Jesus.
Oh, the... Turn it down.
What?
What is it? Cut that garbage. Isn't that interesting? What is it with you?
What is it with me?
I distinctly heard the Jesus.
Well, Margaret, you know, your improvisational lyrics are fine and dandy, but then you start stretching on, you know what I mean?
Well, she's adding a little to the improvisation.
Yes, I'm adding some to the improvisation. I started out the wind in your hair. You got that part, right?
Yes.
Oh, hold on. And a 1960 Corvette. You don't get it, do you? Jesus. Music lovers, if only we had music lovers here.
I like music, Miss Gray. I think it sounded good.
Yeah, sure.
Well, Margaret, don't disrespect him.
Fine, bud. Thank you very much.
All right.
Don Berman.
What is it with Don Berman? Is he hopping mad or something?
Yeah, he's pretty pissed off, you know. Don Berman's pissed off because you're supposed to be on his show for the baseball retrospective.
Hey, Don, buddy, I don't know what to tell you. I think I communicated with your secretary that I wasn't interested in being on that show.
You know, what is it with you, man? I had an appointment with you yesterday. Are we on the air?
Yes, we're on the air.
What an ass.
I'm sorry, but you knew you were going on the air.
I didn't know I was on the air right now.
Bud, you got to tell them when they're going on the air.
Well, it's my mistake, Miss Henry.
Now, who told me that I was going to be on the air, but then put me on the air before telling me that I was on the air right now?
It was Robert.
Robert, I'm surprised. You're not half as dumb as this guy.
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm sorry, sir.
All right. Well, am I on the air now?
Yes, you're on the air.
You're on the air, Don.
Oh, man.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, that's 2 times now I've sounded like an ass. You got to put me on the air when I've got some composure, and I'm feeling... Are we on the air now?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, my God.
What do you want me to tell you, man? You're on the air now, and you've been on the air, and you'll continue to be on the air.
Do you suppose there'd be a moment where I have some decision in that, where someone, you know, maybe I can choose?
Choose what?
Choose whether I'm on the goddamn air or not.
Yes. Do you want to be on the air?
No.
All right, I'll take you off the air.
Wait. So I've been on the air all this time.
What do you think he's been telling you?
Might as well keep me on the air, then.
So, goodbye, Don.
He said to keep him on the air, Phil.
Oh, I'm sorry. Don, I'm sorry.
Oh, am I on the air?
Yes.
You know, I'm over here at one of your sponsors, Ted's of Beverly Hills, and I'm having one of the most delicious steak dinners I've ever had in my life. I'm having a ribeye, and I might even go for the baseball steak. I'm throwing my diet out the window. I was on my way to a very sleek and slender 250 pounds, but now, because of you, I'm going to break my diet, and I'm having the mud pie.
Don.
I'm having the mud pie. Yeah, give me the mud pie, please. I don't care if it's my second one. Give me the mud pie. So you happy?
It's not my fault.
Don, it's not his fault. Now, what do you want to talk to him about?
I want to ask you, are you going to be on my baseball retrospective, The Death of Baseball?
No, I'm not.
even though you promised you would.
I promised that over a year ago, Don. I promised that a year ago.
You promised that a year ago. You said you'd be on the death of baseball because you hated baseball and you wanted to be on the documentary describing how baseball stinks like a rotting corpse and you wanted to stand over it and throw perfume on it before we pushed it and rolled it into the grave.
Yeah, but since that time, I've reacquainted myself with baseball, and I enjoy it. I enjoy it a lot.
Since that time, I've reacquainted myself. What are you trying to do to me, man?
Hey, Berman, why are you so bent out of shape?
What is this guy trying to do to me?
I told you that I would be happy to be on the documentary, and that's the last I heard about it. Then I got a call from Bud saying, hey, there's this documentary, you know, that Don Berman said he's doing. I said, yeah. He says, well, he's doing it this weekend. I said, I don't want to be on it anymore. Because it's been a year, and since then, I've gotten, like I said, reacquainted with baseball.
Now, I hear you got, did you get the Major League, Bud said you got the Major League Baseball subscription?
Yes, I did.
That's over 200 fish.
It's a lot of money, yeah.
200 fish a year. You're spending that on baseball.
Yeah, and I happen to like it.
Well, that's pretty unusual, though, Phil, isn't it?
Phil has been enjoying these games.
I've been enjoying the games.
Oh, you've been enjoying the games.
Don't you have anybody else to interview?
I've got plenty of guys to interview, but you were going to be my lead-in. You were going to be the lead-in because you're the guy whose show I'm on all the time. Oh!
Don't interview me, Mr. Berman.
Here's the problem with all of this. This is going to be my big comeback. This is going to be my Emmy winner, the death of baseball. I'm going to put this on in primetime opposite one of the Dodger or Angel games, and while that game is on, I'm going to be standing there in front of the camera, right? We open with me standing in a black suit, a dark suit with a dark tie, and behind me, we have created a stadium that's on fire. Okay?
You've created that.
Yes. We use special effects. We've got it's actually the Heinz Field, I don't know what it is. It's in Pittsburgh, the one that the Pittsburgh Pirates.
What do you mean the Pirates? You mean the Pirates?
The Pirates. They play at that.
Okay.
Yeah, and we superimpose on top of that flames as if the whole thing is burning. Our special effects guys then put through my eyes a red light. So it looks like I'm talking, then all of a sudden a red light flows through my eyes, and I say, this is the death of baseball. And then the flames consume me, and we go to commercial break. Now, that's how big this thing's going to open.
Well, you don't need me, then.
Yes, I do, because I was going to sit down with you on camera, up opposite each other. And behind us plays out, as I'm interviewing you, we are superimposed on top of a screen where there are riots, police dogs, water cannons, all kinds of mayhem, people being thrown from buildings.
What the hell is this? Is this about baseball?
Yes. But it's the death of baseball. It's the apocalypse of baseball. So while you're talking to me about how you've soured on baseball, what people see behind us are scenes of urban violence and the like. And then we cut to another commercial break.
Well, isn't this just the most genuine thing? This sounds like you talk about making the news.
What?
I agree with the general. It sounds like
Well, it would be called fake news, wouldn't it?
Fake news.
Fake news, huh?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Fake news. Hey, Mr. Henry, how you doing?
Who's this?
This is L. Ron Martin.
Oh, yes, sir.
Listen, Don is very much interested in having this be a very big thing on his newscast. I would very, very much appreciate if you come down to be on it.
Well, sir, I could only talk about my honest feelings about baseball.
All right, even if you still like baseball. Well, let me have it. You still like baseball? Don't take the phone away. Don't ever take the phone away from me. What did I tell you about that?
Sorry.
Now you're going to have the phone. Wait, hold on. Do you remember? Okay, here's the phone. I'm only kidding. The phone, please. So you don't mind coming on the program. You can even talk about how you hate baseball.
I don't hate...
I mean, how much you love baseball now.
Yeah, I do love baseball. I think it's a lot of fun.
All right, I'll let you come on and talk about it. But you're going to have to be over... You're going to have to be superimposed over scenes of urban violence and film footage of a funeral for a shaman priest in ancient Egypt. And then I'd superimpose that over images of, like, Dracula, you know.
What are you trying to say, man?
I'm not trying to say anything. I'm saying it.
You're gonna superimpose Phil while you're interviewing him over images of Dracula.
Well, of the castle and of bats and of people screaming and having, you know, the red eyes of Dracula and the fangs. And meanwhile, while I interview you, Phil, I'll have the red eyes. They'll be streaming out of my eyes, just a red light.
Man, I gotta hand it to you, buddy.
That's the funniest thing I ever heard in my life.
It really is rather amusing.
It's amusing.
Hey, Mr. Henry, it's L. Ron Martin.
Yeah.
So you're laughing at him, huh?
Yeah, we're laughing at him. It sounds like an asshole's idea.
Well, what about the idea that the red eyes are streaming?
Let me have the phone, will you?
No, wait. Don't ever take the phone from me.
May I have the phone?
Yeah, here. I'm only kidding.
What are you laughing at?
While you interview me, you have red eyes and the red light is streaming through your eyes.
You know, Phil, have it your own way. I'll get somebody else. You know what? I'll interview Fraser Smith. He's got to hate baseball.
Why is that?
Well, he used to give crap to Cindy Garvey. I know that.
All right, man. Thanks very much.
So you'll agree to come on?
I'll come on, yeah, and I'll talk about how much I hate baseball.
Ah, out of sight. You can do it? Yeah, I think he is.
Don Berman. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Phil. Don Berman, Channel 19 News. Don't forget, coming up, our big special, Baseball, The Undead, starring Phil Henry, will be my very, very first interview segment. And that'll be coming up.
All right, Don, thanks. We got to get going.
Coming up. You got to get going, huh?
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Well, that's coming up on the
world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California, executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.
General Galen Shaw, don't forget to see the special, Baseball the Undead.